Hi, I'm Gary Duncan, the Executive Director of Worldwide KFUO. Thanks for listening online to our programs, our stream, our podcast, our online on-demand audio. We appreciate you. Remember, KFUO is a listener-supported broadcast ministry, so we do rely on your support to continue. So please prayerfully consider making a gift today. You benefit from the programs, and you know how important it is to get the message out to the world. And that's what we do every day here at KFUO. For more information, you could call area code 314-996-1518 to talk to Mary, or 996-1520 to talk to Mark. Ask them about the different ways to give to the ministry of KFUO. Thank you in advance for your support. Also, tell your friends about us. Most important of all, pray for the ministry of Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and I got, again, by phone today, Pastor Brian Wolfmuller of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, to talk about a new publication of hymns, looking at them as poetry, and to look at one hymn as poetry and try to pull out what some of those words are. So welcome, Brian.
Thank you.
Again, give us the name of the book and where people can go and download it for free.
Yeah, it's called My Song is Love Unknown, poems of the good, the beautiful, and the true, as drawn from the church's song, according to my Facebook friends on the eve of St. Andrew's Day, 2016. It was a funny sort of thing. It just came out of this conversation on Facebook. Hey, what hymns make the best poems? And everyone jumped in, and I couldn't sleep, so I woke up early and made it into a book and published it on Lulu. So you can just download the text and take a look at it for free from the website wolfmuller.co and hit the books tab. Or you can buy it hardcover for Lulu, give it as a Christmas gift, I guess, for $12.50. So it has about 55 verses and stanzas from the church's song, some really beautiful ones, and it isolates them without the music, and it lets you meditate on the words of the hymn as pieces of poetry.
And let the prophets, I shouldn't say prophets, let the confessors of the ages between us and the New Testament tell you in their own words, in the most beautiful words they can find, the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done. So, and speaking of, those confessors, the first song you want to look at today, Savior of the Nations Come by Ambrose of Milan, written sometime between 340 and 397 AD, right? This is deep history.
This is a great one because Ambrose wrote this hymn in Latin, and you get a sense that it's a Latin hymn because it has the doxology at the end, which is one of the marks of the Latin hymnody. But then it was translated from Latin into German by Luther, and the English translation that we have is a translation of Luther's German. How about that? So this hymn has traveled all the way along, and I think I'm not good enough to look at the Latin and the German and compare them, but from what I've heard, Luther made it better, which is why we have his translation. We translate from his German. So this comes from his old, this hymn has been flowing down the river from the very beginning.
Savior of the nations, come. Virgin Son, make here your home. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth. Not by human flesh and blood, by the Spirit of our God, was the Word of God made flesh, woman's offspring, pure and fresh.
Oh, it's beautiful. That's just so beautiful. Now, I always want to think of the hymns as confessions of theology, which they are, first and foremost. And this hymn, above all, is a beautiful, beautiful confession of Christ and his person and work. The two natures of Jesus, the incarnation. It's a stunning thing, but we want to look at the poetry of it. And I think it's helpful in this first stanza just to notice how we're speaking to two different audiences just in the first four lines. The first two lines are addressed to Jesus.
Right.
We're speaking to him, and we name him twice, Savior of the Nations and Virgin's Son. So we're speaking of Jesus according to his person and his work, and we're asking him to come and be with us. This is the theme of Advent, that the Lord not only came in humility and will come again to judge the world, but he comes to us now. And then the it's almost like we can't contain ourselves, and we turn away from speaking to Jesus, and now we're speaking to all of the cosmos. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth. So we're asking Jesus to come to us, and then we turn around and we speak to the stars and to the moon and to the mountains and to the trees and the oceans, and we say, world, you ought to be stunned
right.
that the Son of God has chosen to become part of creation, has become a man here, and we're summoning the whole world to rejoice in this fact. And now the rest of the hymn is going to bring us into that marveling of heaven and earth at what the Lord Jesus has done. How amazing is that?
Well, and then that next verse picks right up there. So marvel heaven and earth and know that you didn't do it, right? It wasn't by human flesh and blood, right? None of us here were part of this. It was the Spirit of God who did this, the one who hovered over the waters before we were made out of the void, and the Word of God who spoke us into existence. Now he has become one with that existence, flesh. And even then, this just bizarrety of it. Woman's offspring, pure and fresh, this small little suckling, sweet, bouncy baby boy with his soft skin, right?
Flesh is in there twice, not by human flesh and blood. And then, third line, was the Word of God made flesh? So flesh is not the source of the incarnation, but flesh is the goal of the incarnation.
Right.
It's not where it begins, but it's where God ends, in your flesh. It's great. And in your flesh, but not in your sin.
Sin, right,
but
right.
Jesus, and it referred to here as this humanity, pure and fresh. So you have this picture. Fresh is amazing, especially at this time of year, you know, when things are cold and kind of
right.
worn out, a little bit stale, you know, where it's not springtime where the new growth is coming. It's in the short days. Everything's covered in cold and snow, and yet there's a freshness there. When Jesus is born, it's like the earth has a new creation smell to it. something incredibly new is happening in this event of the incarnation.
Here a maid was found with child, yet remained a virgin mild. In her womb this truth was shown, God was there upon his throne. Probably should just stop right there. I think that's the part that Luther did, in fact, update from Ambrose. But Luther does kind of get it right, too, I think. He focuses us away from Mary and onto Christ. Mary should be lauded, but not as the center. Yeah?
Yeah, that's it. And he's on his throne. What is the throne? Is his humanity.
Yeah.
The humanity that he assumes from the Virgin. It's just, so, you know, we think of the throne of God, and we have all these incredible visions that the prophets have of the throne in heaven where the Lord sits in glory, and yet here Jesus is in a manger, and that is because he's there. That's the throne. Here Jesus is in the womb, but that's because he's there. It's the throne. Here Jesus is on the cross, but because it's Jesus there, that is his throne where he rules. I mean, the imagery is so beautiful and comforting.
And the idea that the womb of woman also is because of this, but I think even createdly before this, but especially because of this, is the pinnacle of creation. You know, in our age, we kind of deride pregnancy and motherhood, but it, in God's sight, this was like a tremendous gift to us in the first place, that we could create more people. And now he wants it so much, he doesn't want it to stop. He comes down and he becomes one himself.
That's right.
Fathomless.
Right.
And then, now this moment, right? Then stepped forth the Lord of all from his pure and kingly hall, God of God, yet fully man. His heroic course began, right? And he's setting the stage, right? He's marching out of her womb, God in flesh, but he's just started.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you could see it we don't have kings in the United States, which is, I mean, I'm glad for that, but in some ways it cuts us off from a lot of the imagery of the ancient world and even of the scriptures. So you have to imagine a king in his armor, in his royal regalia, with his sword and his scepter and his crown and all his kingly glory, and he comes out of the palace and he's stepping out of the doors there to go out and to go to war, to do the heroic things, to lead his people into battle, to be a hero. And here, this is the picture of the birth of Jesus. So that as Jesus, we have another beautiful picture in this Christmas hymn of the Father's love begotten, mm-hmm. when it says, when the Savior first revealed his sacred face. If anyone, you know, has been there in the room when a child is born, there's no child there, at least that you can see, and then all of a sudden, there's the child. Whoosh is what it sounds like.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, there's just, and it, the baby is now has arrived. Now, it takes that picture and puts it in and puts over it the picture of the king marching out of his hall to go and do battle, and those are placed on top of each other for the church to meditate on at this time of Advent and the birth of Jesus.
It's every great story that was ever written. It's the one who was born to save us all. Every story borrows from this, and nothing can really compete with it. Verse 5 gets theological, as you mentioned earlier, and verse 6 will continue that idea. God the Father was his source. Back to God, he ran his course. Into hell, his road went down. Back then to his throne and crown. For you are the Father's Son, who in flesh the victory won. By your mighty power, make whole all our ills of flesh and soul.
It's amazing. It turns there to address Jesus again in praise. But the verse 5 is a confession. The Father was a source. He went back to God, but his road back to God was not without its own dangers. So you have the picture of the, I hate to even use this language, but you have the hero quest going here. Jesus comes forth and he's going to go on adventures to accomplish things. And his adventures are going to take him to, you know, into the gaping mouth of the devil himself. He's going to face death. He's going to descend into hell, even victorious. And he's going to ascend into heaven, which is a key thing for the scriptures. I mean, the ascension of Jesus is mentioned in the Bible about as many times as the resurrection of Jesus. It's so important. We just diminish it. But that's captured here so that Jesus, he comes in humility to suffer, to die. He goes even through hell to speak of his triumph, and then he's back on the throne of God. But he's there on the throne of God different than he was when he was first on the throne of God. So he sat on the throne of God in eternity as the Son of God, but now he has our flesh, and he's back to the throne with our flesh. Now he has the wounds of the cross, and he's back to the throne with the wounds of the cross. So when Jesus gives this picture to John in the Revelation, he sees the one who's sitting on the throne is the Lamb who had been slain. Jesus is ruling as the one who was crucified. And so he rules and reigns. We know, this is our great comfort, that he rules and reigns as the one who died and rose for us. And we can't escape that in this hymn, that the one who sits on the throne ruling and reigning the universe is the one who came down into Mary's womb, into the manger, under the cross, into the grave, all for us and for our salvation.
All of this has been like an explanation to get us back to where he started, right? Savior, come. Virgin Son, come. And then it breaks out, heaven and earth, this is crazy. Here's what he did. Here's why he did it. So now, because of that, we have a reason to call back to him. Now, come. Make your mighty power make us whole and heal these ills that are in our bodies and in our lives and really conquering death. And that's the Easter cry is really hinted at there as well. With about 2 minutes left here, let's make sure we finish this up. From the manger, I get a little Christmassy here. From the manger, newborn light shines in glory through the night. Darkness there no more resides. In this light, faith now abides.
That's so great. I mean, this picture of light and dark, which runs through the scriptures, is such a beautiful thing. And it's the middle of the night. Always the nativity is the middle of the night, I think, because it's in the middle of the night the light shines brightest. So that, remember, the Revelation says that there's no sun or moon, but the Lamb on the throne is the light. This is that almost brought forward, is if Jesus is here, it doesn't matter if we're in the middle of the night or surrounded by the darkness of sin and death. Jesus, he radiates with the glory of heaven itself into the midst of earthly darkness, so that for a people who dwell in darkness, the light has risen. Just fantastic. And we have that by faith. I mean, we still walk in the darkness of this world, but by faith, our hearts are enlightened, says Hebrews. We have the light of Christ.
I love the abide word there too, that faith remains. It's got a stability to it. It is not caught with the ebb and flow of my emotions or the doubting and believing of my thoughts, but that the true faith simply remains kept in with and from Christ. You mentioned the Christmas always being at night thing, and I wonder how much of that's connected to the fact that there was the star in the sky that everybody could see, which is all the more amazing if everyone can see it during the daytime, you know? But for some reason, we want to put it at night. And it makes for a nice little nativity scene, nothing wrong with that. But the idea of it being at night isn't necessarily historically right, but then poetically, which is what we're talking about, it is spot on that the darkness that we were in, the source of light has come into. So finally, glory to the Father, sing. Glory to the Son, our King. You mentioned that earlier, the King. Glory to the Spirit be now and through eternity. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. My guest this morning, Pastor Brian Wolfmuller, talking about hymnody as poetry and how much it has to teach us about the beauty of language. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. We'll be back in just a moment.